Coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz, welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. And this weekend edition of Outdoors Live, the last weekend in May, Memorial Day is behind us, and the true grit of summer is coming up right in front of us. Actually, when you look at the calendar, we're just about 5 weeks away from the 4th of July, not to depress anybody, because it feels like summer is just finally starting. Oh, maybe just spring. Maybe just spring finally feels like it's been here for the last couple of weeks. But the reality of it is, the deadline to apply for a deer license in North Dakota for the fall season is coming up on Wednesday, June 4th, 12 midnight. Fact is, everything else we talk about the rest of this weekend in terms of deer is not going to matter unless you meet that deadline. First and foremost, that is the deadline. Here to explain even more in depth with full details is the chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Randy Kreil joins us. And Randy, won't be too much of an eye-opener for people when we dig in. Let's start first with the number of tags, fewer number of tags available this year compared to last year.
Absolutely, and I don't think it comes as a surprise to anybody.
Nope.
We spent most of the winter talking to the deer hunting public about the condition of our deer herd and what it's going to take to try to help it rebound, and people fully understood the need to reduce harvest on especially the doe segment of the population, and I don't think the decrease in licenses came as a surprise to anybody.
As you mentioned, well documented with the deer meetings and the advisory board meetings, but for a recap and for those people that maybe missed it, where we got to this point did involve winters, it did involve habitat, Randy?
Well, there's a series of things in there. People need to go back in history and remember where we were in 2007 when we had just under 150,000 deer licenses. The public of North Dakota was making it very clear at that time that they felt that was too many deer on the landscape. Whether they were a livestock producer with stored livestock feed supplies, whether they were a farmer who grew commodity crops, or whether they were motoring public or people with gardens, people said that there were too many deer on the landscape. And so we launched into an aggressive effort as a department to try to reduce deer numbers to that balancing point between what people wanted for recreation and what other people could tolerate. And that was followed by three bad winters back to back to back. Now, in hindsight, would we have issued fewer licenses during those years leading up to those bad winters if we would have been able to predict we were going to have three bad winters in a row? Certainly. But we didn't know that. And we needed to respond to the public's wishes at that time. And so that aggressive approach to the deer harvest, coupled with the three winters back to back to back, and the fact that we've lost so much habitat in the state in the last half a dozen years, is all coupled to create the current situation that we're in.
Randy Kreil, Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. North Dakota deer application deadline coming up on June 4th at 12 midnight. Randy, when they look at the applications, how many tags available?
It's 48,000 licenses are available this year, and that's before gratis comes out of that pool. Last year was 59,500. And this is the lowest number of licenses we've had since 1980. The biggest hit in terms of license reductions was the eastern half of the state. That's where we've seen massive losses in CRP acres. Thousands of acres of native prairie have been plowed under for commodity production. A lot of wetlands have been lost to do tile drainage and other things, and then a number of trees and tree belts that have come out in the eastern half of the state is just mind-boggling. And so that's going to have a real impact on the ability of deer populations to bounce back.
From white-tailed deer in my backyard, our backyard of the Red River Valley, let's shift to the Badlands and take a closer look at mule deer. We have reduced the mule deer, basically eliminated mule deer doe hunting the last couple of years. Are we going to do that again this year?
We are going to do that again for the third consecutive year, and yes, it has helped. After the first year of no doe licenses, we saw a spring population survey increase of 15%. This year, after the second year, of no doe harvest for mule deer, we saw a population increase of 19%. And so those are some pretty healthy increases, and we figure one more year of doing that will put us in a pretty good position. Now, habitat loss in the western part of the state has not, in the mule deer range, certainly hasn't been as significant as it has in the other part, rest of the state. It's just not farm country. It's the badlands, and it's grazing country and cattle country, and cattlemen like grass green side up just like we do, and so it's a real positive thing. And so there is a positive light in all this is with mule deer, and they're bouncing back.
Let me ask you a common question that you're hearing, I'm hearing, everybody else, is how long does it take a deer herd to recover and replenish itself?
Well, if you would have asked that question back in 2007, when we had 3.4 million acres of CRP and all the other habitat components still there, the population can bounce back fairly quickly given decent weather. Not in this situation where habitat losses have accelerated to a point that it's downright scary, we're not quite sure how long it's going to take to bounce back, and the definition of bounce back may be different than what people want to hear. The idea of having 100,000 deer licenses available to meet the demands of everybody out there certainly is a goal we could have, but can we achieve that goal? A lot of it will depend on whether these habitat loss trends continue or can be reversed, and it will depend on the weather. We're doing what we can in terms of reducing harvest on the doe segment of the population, but people need to brace themselves for the fact that this isn't going to be like it was back even as many as 7 or 8 years ago. It's going to be very difficult to get back to that level again.
Randy Kreil is the chief of the Wildlife Division for your North Dakota Game and Fish Department. A reminder to apply online before June 4th turns over to June 5th. Make sure when you're applying online, or if you're doing it the paper way, you have to include your North Dakota operator's license, your driver's license number, not your social security number. A very, very strong point when you're doing it the paper way. If you're doing it online, it'll kick you back out until you put it in there. If you do it the paper way, then we have to try to contact you to get that before we can include your name into the lottery as well. So make sure, and also make sure that if you're applying for gratis, that you hit that deadline as well. Lots to talk about with Randy Kreil, the chief of the Wildlife Division. Things have changed over the years. Randy Kreil is our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. We're joined by Randy Kreil, the chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. If you missed the first part of the program, it's podcast at kfgo.com. The big thing is the deer deadline coming up on Wednesday, June 4th. And when deer hunters take a look at the application, you're going to see fewer deer tags available this year. And Randy, over the course of time, people got very used to 5 years ago getting multiple deer tags and applying for a buck tag in a mule deer unit, say, knowing that in the back of their mind they'd pick up a doe tag in unit 2B. And if they didn't get drawn for their mule deer tag, they'd build up preference points, they'd still get a deer that's in 2B, and they'd go back to, they'd have some deer sausage for ice fishing. It was really almost the best of both worlds. And now what you see, Randy, is deer hunters becoming more calculated. If they don't think about putting in for a doe tag in a unit, there's, and even with a doe tag, there's no guarantees. The days of drawing a buck tag are definitely behind us, and drawing a tag is more difficult.
People started seeing that last year. We had, by the time the dust settled, we had over 26,000 people that didn't get any deer gun license at all. And this year it's going to be more. And so people are going to need to think about what's really important to them. And we've talked about this on previous webcasts, is that do you want to hunt deer with your friends and your family and your home unit? Or do you want to hunt for a buck? Because that's two different questions. The buck licenses obviously are difficult to get. If you want to hunt deer in your home unit, then maybe your first choice should be a doe license. And it's ironic. I mean, we sat here not very many years ago and answering questions from the public about why don't you have an earn a buck program where you have to shoot two does before you can get a buck license, or why don't you sell doe licenses for $5 because you can't get rid of them all. And now doe licenses are coveted. there, and people would gladly take a doe license just to be able to go deer hunting. And so people are going to have to decide what's important to them, a set of antlers or the opportunity to go deer hunting.
As I kind of alluded to, you hear more and more about hunters trying to look at different units to apply, using some different strategies to up their odds at drawing a deer tag, but there's no guarantee, Randy, is there?
Well, sometimes going to a new unit's a possibility if their license is there, but realize that in that unit there are people that typically apply there. Now, there are some units that licenses were left over last year for the unsuccessful people in the first lottery, but they were all gone, used up by people who were in the lottery, and there were no over-the-counter licenses, and there wasn't a third lottery or anything like that. And so the best strategy you can come up with is, what do you really want out of your deer season? You want to hunt for a buck, or do you want to be able to go hunting? That's not necessarily the same thing.
Randy Kreil, Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. When hunters apply for their deer tag, if they haven't already, they're going to notice a new line on the application.
Right. One of the things that they're going to notice is the requirement that you provide your North Dakota driver's license number. And people are going to go, now why in the world does Game and Fish want that on this application? Well, the state legislature actually made the change in the law that requires that. And people need to understand why that was done. That was done to try to stop people who are not North Dakota residents from applying for lottery licenses when they didn't deserve to be able to apply as a resident. And one way to tighten that up is if they have to demonstrate that they have a North Dakota driver's license that can easily be checked, you can eliminate people from keeping their residency in their home state and then hunting here and trying to be a resident here as well, which is going to ultimately benefit North Dakota residents. So people shouldn't be upset about having to put in their driver's license number on there. They should be happy that they have the opportunity to do that, because it's going to stop some of the potential fraud and cheating that might have been going on. But people need to do that. The big three, the moose, elk, and sheep, whole process got kicked back about 3 weeks because we had thousands of people that didn't do that. And instead of kicking them out of the lottery, we sent them back and said, you got to give us this number or otherwise we can't process your application. Now, there have been some people that have called. I've done radio shows about the deer season, and this question has come up that they shouldn't have been able to reapply. Just kick them out of the lottery. And you go, because they'll admit it, because my chances would have been better. Well, yeah, your chances might have been better, but you know, you want to give people a fair opportunity.
Sure.
And if there's a new change like that, we want to give people just a fair chance. We're not that kind of agency that you make one mistake and you're out the door.
Sure.
And the people that are asking that we do kick people out the door if they make a mistake, my guess is that they wouldn't have the same opinion if they goofed up on their application on another field and didn't fill it out right and they got kicked out of the lottery. My guess is they'd be complaining. And so we're trying to be user-friendly, and that's why that is the case. But in order to help the whole deer application process along, people need to be aware of that requirement of putting in their driver's license number. And we're highlighting it on the application, and we're going to tell people as many times and many places as we can to do that, so we don't have a repeat of what happened with moose, elk, and sheep. It's important to remember we want to have the best information available. We don't fly our spring mule deer surveys until the snow is gone and before the leaves come out, and that's typically in mid to late April. And then you got to give people a month to apply, and then it takes time to run all these things through the system. By 2016, the legislature said all license applications are going to need to be electronic. That will help. But right now, we still have 30%+ people that file paper applications, which means we have to key them in manually into the system. And so people just need to be patient. I know they'd like to know in early July or June or May or January if they're going to get a license or not, but they have to understand that we need correct information. We have to run through the process that we need to go through in order to do this right.
I always appreciate the word right from the top of the Wildlife Division for your North Dakota Game and Fish Department, Randy Kreil. And if I cannot impress upon enough, as Randy has and I have before, small little things can delay the entire process. Make sure you hit that midnight deadline. There is no, oh, that's right, on Thursday morning. The web system will be shut down. Apply online helps us speed up the process. When you apply online, you will know you need to put in your driver's license number. If you don't, it'll kick you out. If you're applying by paper, make sure you put it on there. If you want to apply for a gratis, make sure that you hit that deadline as well for your gratis. Wednesday, midnight, June 4th. This is the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Free fishing weekend coming up next weekend in North Dakota for residents. How is the fishing? Pat Stockdale, when we return on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. We've talked a lot about deer today, and rightfully so, with the deer deadline. If you've missed the first two segments of the program, Randy Crowell, the chief of the Wildlife Division, was our guest, and we talked about the upcoming deer lottery and the ins and outs of that. If you missed it, thanks to Bob Harris, it's podcast at kfgo.com, and you might want to take a listen. But you definitely want to make sure that you have your application set and ready by Wednesday. Thursday morning, if you wake up and you go, oh, that's right, got to get my deer application in, the computer's shut off and shut down, and you will not be able to apply for the 2014 deer lottery, which, maybe we didn't stress it enough, includes your muzzleloader, the regular gun or rifle tag, as people call it, your gratis, if you're a non-resident landowner, if you want to apply for the youth antlered mule deer, the specific antlered mule deer in units 3B1, 3B2, 4A through 4F. If you get your gratis in prior to the deadline, you will get the any legal deer license. Basically, a lot of guys like to use, and gals like to use that as a buck tag. But now, as per state law, applications received after the deadline, gratis applications after the deadline, will only be based on remaining lotteries. So if there are some buck tags left in some unit, then they would be in any deer. But for the most part, those are going to be, let's face it, those are going to be antlerless licenses. So make sure you get that. And again, we stress that the deadline is June 4th, and do it online. If you do it paper, make sure you get your operator's license number on there. It's a new slot on the list you got to get. And just a couple of moments, we'll be getting you a Central Dakota Outdoors report with Pat Stockdale. Another reminder is, with the rise in popularity of archery bow fishing, a couple of reminders, you can't leave those dead fish on the shore. It's basically considered a littering violation. If you want to take part in bow fishing, it's carp, it's non-game. It's non-game. You can't shoot pike with a bow. It's non-game fish. Most people are shooting at carp. And you have to have a fishing license. You do have to have a fishing license. There's no special bow fishing license. But archery equipment and spears are only the legal method of taking in this time of year. If you want to look at some of the other rules and regulations, they are also listed in our fishing guide. But you can use night vision and electronically enhanced light gathering optics, so you can shine fish. It is legal. It is legal. Some other good news is that free fishing weekend is coming up on June 7th through the 8th. That's definitely some good news, folks. Free fishing weekend. We'll be talking with Terry Steinwad, the director of the Game and Fish Department, next weekend about free fishing, because it really puts the spotlight on the heritage of what fishing is in North Dakota. So a free fishing weekend, if you're a resident of North Dakota, you may fish without a license. The other rules and restrictions, the limits, the number of rods that you can use, those all remain in effect. But it is free fishing weekend coming up on June 7th and June 8th. Now, let's shift gears once again and get you a little better insight into what's going on across the prairies of the Midwest. Pat Stockdale is a very well-respected outdoors communicator, award-winning outdoors communicator. And she joins us each week with a Central Dakota Outdoors Report. Pat, what's cooking outdoors this week?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Wow, it's amazing what a little warm weather does for everyone, including warming water temperatures and creating more active fish. Over on Devil's Lake, walleye are starting to become active because of that warmer water. Try the bridges in the evening or locate the warmest water possible using crankbaits in 3 to 5 feet. Work deeper water during the day for walleye, with fish moving into shallower water around sundown. Try live bait during the day over the humps, and again, those crankbaits in the evening. Anglers continue finding good numbers of northern pike yet. Jamestown Reservoir is good from shore for pike and bullheads, with some walleye from the docks. Look for increasing activity, and perhaps success as well, with warmer, stable weather. Lake Ashtabula has improving success for all species from both boat and shore. Look for a mix of crappie, bass, and some walleye from Ashtabula Crossing to the south. Try spinners and minnows. Look for some perch with some walleye mixed in farther down on the lake. Anglers are finding good walleye success in stretches along the Red, Maple, and Cheyenne rivers using jigs and minnows. Try cut fish with stink bait or cut goldeye for catfish. It seems the bigger catfish have been taken after sunset through the early morning hours. There are good reports from Richland, Lemoore, Barnes, and Sargent County lakes. Try live bait presentations. West on the Missouri River, anglers are still finding numbers of small walleye. The best success remains south of Bismarck Mandan, although the tail race is finally surrendering a few more fish in recent days. Try crankbaits shallow along the sandbars for walleye, or night crawlers or minnows with Lindy rigs. Look for some catfish and salmon from both boat and shore. Lake Audubon is good for walleye, with most success still along the east side. Move around in 6 to 20 feet using spinners or Lindy rigs with a variety of bait. Lake Sakakawea is producing good numbers of male walleye throughout the east end and Douglas Bay, working both shallow and deep. Look west around Indian Hills and farther west for bigger fish. Pike continue biting on both Lake Sakakawea and the tail race. Don't forget, North Dakota's free fishing weekend is June 7th and 8th. But before that, deer gun and muzzleloader applications are due June 4th.
Appreciate that, Pat Stockdall with a Central Dakota Outdoors report. You read her work in Minnesota Outdoor News, Dakota Country Magazine, and she joins us each week. Another little bit of good news, biologists from our fisheries division relaying that winter kill was not as bad as it possibly could have been. There was some concern towards the backside of winter that just kept dragging on and on. There was, in our backyard, there was a couple of minor fish kills reported at Brewer Lake and Castleton Reservoir, but nothing significant. The most significant winter kills were in McKenzie County at Leland Dam, in north central North Dakota, in Rolette County, Island Lake, and the State Fair Pond in Minot and Ward County all had some significant winter kill. But the State Fair Pond and Leland Dam have been restocked, so they'll have some catchable fish restocked back into those. It's something that we battle with year in and year out in the Midwest. It's a natural cycle, winter kill, and unfortunately a couple of lakes. If those are in your backyard, it means something to you. It definitely does. That's the reality of the locality of fishing. If Castleton Reservoir has a massive fish kill, it affects me quite dramatically. That's where I love to fish. But so far, the word is pretty good across North Dakota. Coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, CJ Johnson with a Minnesota Outdoors report on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, the last cast for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. But as I want to continue to remind you, the deer application deadline coming up on June 4th. And if you've missed any part of our earlier program with the Chief of the Wildlife Division, Randy Crowell, giving you some insight into where we've been, where we're at, that's podcast at kfgo.com. I also wanted to mention, as we just wait here just for a second, we'll connect with CJ Johnson with a Minnesota Outdoors report. Several different lakes in Otter Tail County, the Minnesota DNR is taking public comment on some regulations, walleye regulations on North and South Lida. They'll be taking comments on the 17 to 26 inch slot. The existing regulation is a 17 to 26 inch slot must be released. One fish over 26 is allowed in possession. They'll be having meetings in Pelican Rapids on Tuesday, June 17th, later on this fall in Fergus Falls, but you can comment online as well. Those are walleye regulations and also bass regulations on Jewett, Pickerel, Clitheroe, and Sewell lakes. Right now, Minnesota DNR has a 12 to 20 inch protected slot for bass on Jewett, Pickerel, and Sewell lakes. Clitheroe has a catch and release regulation for smallmouth bass. If you feel strongly one way or another, you need to check out the meetings or comment from the Minnesota DNR website. And now it's time for an update from the Minnesota Lakes region and across the land. And when we do that, we call on our good friend, CJ Johnson. CJ is a Lisbon, North Dakota native and spent his career covering the outdoors for Minnesota. And he's a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, giving us a little better taste of the outdoor activity in Minnesota. CJ, how's things looking outdoors this week?
Oh my gosh, it's looking great. We've had some sunshine and we've had some warm weather, and kind of beats the floating around icebergs on opening weekend.
But no doubt.
Boy, it's really shaping up now. And, let's look at Lake of the Woods area tourism up there. They say they're expecting great results for this weekend. An abundance of limits, slot, and trophy walleyes, believe it or not, were taken on the opener, even in the cooler weather. Rainy River, 4 Mile Bay, the Lighthouse Gap, and out in Pine Island all the way over to Morris Point all did well in about 4 to 13 feet of water using brightly colored jigs tipped with a minnow. Now, Smoky Hills Outdoor Store over in Park Rapids, they say the mouths of most of the rivers or current areas on Island Lake, Fishhook Lake, Crowing Chain, as well as Potato Lake, they're producing walleyes on minnows in 3 to 6 feet of water, running shallow here. Northern pike seem to be hitting minnows in 3 to 7 feet of water on Island Lake. And small crankbaits are pulling in rainbow trout at Blacksmith Lake near the surface in 10 to 12 feet, by the way. Leisure Outdoor Adventures in the Brainerd Lakes area says the walleye season, it's in full force up there. Walleye bite has been pretty slow right now, but they say that a quarter-ounce jig tipped with a minnow is a great place to start right now. You want to try rainbow and fathead minnows as well. Areas in the lake that have current will yield the best results for wind-blown shorelines right now. Best depth seems to be anywhere from 2 to 13 feet. Christofferson's Bait and Tackle in Alexandria says crawlers and minnows triggering walleyes during the evening hours, especially in Lake Mary and Reno Lake. They're down about 7 to 15 feet. Or you can go over to Oster Lake, and they're down about 9 to 15 feet over there. Walleyes are also hitting crankbaits at night on the shallow current areas on the lakes that do have some current in them. Brad 71 Bait Shop over in Wilmer, they say walleyes and crappies are hitting minnows and leeches along the shorelines of Wilmer, Foot Lake, and Lake Elizabeth right now. And lakes like Solomon Ringo and South Long, they're giving up walleyes in less than 10 feet of water right now, as are the bars on Green Lake, but they're down there 20 to 30 feet at this time. Now, Emily Schneider over in the Otter Tail Lakes Country says that after a beautiful Memorial Day weekend, June is here. Fish are biting. Walleye are still swimming in the creeks and rivers and also in the shallow weed lines right now in the Otter Tail Lakes Country lakes. And she says a lot of the fishermen are reporting successful outings using jigs and minnows. Crappie and sunfish appear to be swimming in the shallows and bay weeds as well. You want to try about 6 to 8 feet of water right there. Try using leeches or worms or crappie minnows to land them in the boat all this week. Becca Art, Detroit Lakes, says beautiful weather brought out more fishermen for the holiday weekend in the DL area. And she says water temps have been climbing into the 50s, even low 60s on some of the lakes. And the walleye bite has been mostly on jigs or rigs and shiners in 6 to 11 or down 13 to 18 in some places, if the water is nice and flat, and the sun is shining right now. Some walleyes are also being taken on leeches and crawlers, and the bass action in the DL area is good in very shallow water right now. Becca says northern pike active on minnows and crankbaits in 6 to 12 feet of water. And Doug, anglers are famous for searching out different spots on the water if the fish aren't biting right where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But even with fishing, sometimes the grass is not always greener elsewhere. I do remember a Minnesota DNR conservation officer, a CEO, telling me a story that also points this out. He said he was walking the shoreline, checking the licenses, and he came upon two guys. Well, he got about 5 yards away and he yelled to the guys, "Hey, fellas, I'm out here checking the licenses. Pull them out." Well, the officer said one guy got up, jumped, and started running as fast as he could.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, the CO said, "Hey, I gave chase," and about 100 yards down the shoreline, the angler just stopped, out of breath, and just waited there. Well, the CO said he caught up and said, "Why did you run? Don't you have a license?" The guy said, "Yeah," and he pulled out his wallet and handed the officer his license.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The CO said, "Hey, you've got a valid license. Why did you run?"
Okay.
And the angler said, "Well, I knew I had a license, but the guy I was fishing with didn't." Whoa, well, the two walked back quietly to the empty fishing spot. But remember, the fishing's always great. It's a catching. We got to work hard.
No doubt about it. And that is part of the fun of the outdoors, the stories, the laughter. It's all what makes the outdoors so much fun. And we appreciate CJ Johnson with your information and your updates from the Minnesota Lakes region, the stories and the humor as well. CJ, thanks so much for your time, my friend.
My pleasure, Doug.
We always appreciate connecting with CJ Johnson, a great regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. But that is also the last cast for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. If you'd like to, you can send me an email. It's outdoorslive@gmail.com. That's outdoorslive@gmail.com. And don't forget to catch us Monday through Friday at 6:20 with an Outdoors Live update with myself and the Big Kahuna. Until next time, I'm Doug Lear, reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.